Amen. Thank you, Paul. Thank you all so much for being here with us this morning. If I haven't got to meet you yet, I'm Brian. I'm the pastor here, and it's good to hang out with you this morning. I've already been confessing to many of you about my lovely challenges that begin with some yellow thing falling from the sky. I think every morning it gets stuck in my hair from the day before and washes into my eyes and down my throat. I'm getting ugly now, aren't I? But anyway, you can pray for my lovely congestion thing this morning. Hopefully I won't be too nasally for you. But it is good to be here with you. I'm on your way in. Someone gave you probably one of these blue things called a connection guide. Lots of info in it. And please, if you haven't heard this before, let us know how we can serve you, pray for you, what's going on in your life. That one part tears off that we call a communication card, and you can fill out any questions or thoughts you have there, prayer requests, put it in our buckets at the end of the service. We would count that as very important to us to know how to connect and serve you, how to pray for you this week. That's probably going to be especially true with our conversation today. We'll even end a little different today. I'll just go ahead and warn you, about what we really believe the Lord is kind of prepping us for in the conversation this month. We really believe that as I look around and as we look around as leaders here of the church and just engaging the community, that there's just so many folks looking for something solid, something consistent, something tangible that doesn't change, that doesn't shift, that doesn't fall apart in the midst of the storms of life. And so we want to challenge each of us to find that rock and not be living on shaky ground. And we'll talk more about that today. And challenge each of us to engage in that journey together, for one another, with one another, because the last time I checked on Humpty Dumpty when he fell off the wall, he needed others to come and help him put the pieces back together again. He couldn't do that on his own. Unfortunately, in the little world and context that we live in, we're trained to not need anyone and think we can do it all by ourselves. It is a lie. It does not work. So whether you turn it in your prayer request to us on connection guides or you find some friends to have this conversation with, I really encourage you to engage, not just in the scriptures, but in the conversation. If you do need the scriptures, every week now, if you haven't heard the announcement about this, we use what's called the Bible app, and sermon notes are always included in that. And so you can have a copy of the scriptures for a whole month. You can get on Bible app, and if you don't know how to do that, and if you have a smartphone or an iPad or whatever it is, and you need help to know how to engage those scriptures and conversations, let me know. Be glad to help you in that journey. Also, I really think that's especially true for this month because, again, we really sense that there's so many folks struggling in a variety of ways that those scriptural truths mixed with our conversations may be something you really want to engage in with others, as maybe it's not you in the midst of a struggle or a shaky ground, but those around you, and maybe you need these scriptures and conversations to help those around you. These are things that we've all experienced. But it's the moment that you thought that would never happen. And it's happening. It's the reality of the unimagined happening to you. You've seen it happen in other people's lives. You see it in other families. You've seen it in other stories, but not yours. But all of a sudden, it's yours. It's the nightmares that nobody wants to talk about becoming the subject that everyone is talking about. It's the thing that you have always wanted to avoid, but to be blunt, it's unavoidable. It's the crash that slams you into the deepest need to be rescued. We've all experienced these crashes in some way or form. When we hear the word crash, most of us think of, an automobile accident or a motorcycle accident, and we hear about those every day as well, don't we? Hear about some crash on I-20. It seems like it happens every day. I'm beginning to wonder if that's not Death Highway right there, that the Lord has put, the death angel right down there on the highway, because it seems like that's happening. I hear little tweets or in the news every day. It seems like you're like going, my goodness, it's crazy what's going on. But that's not the crash I'm talking about. I don't know if you have a car crash story. You know how when you're kids, you always have these one-up stories, you know? Like somebody tells a story, it's like, well, I know, you know, what my dad has done, you know, whatever, those kind of stories. Well, we have a pretty good one-up crash story. Christy does, actually. I was not in the car, was not around the car, but I saw the end results of the crash. Christy, a long time ago, we lived in Dallas-Fort Worth area, hit a cow. Come over to the highway, is late at night, dark, solid black cow, never saw it, and going about 50, 55 miles an hour, 1,200-pound cow, 9,000 pounds of pressure, landed on that little bar between your front windshield and your door. You know what I'm talking about? Tow truck guy point blank said, I don't get it. There is no way that that bar should have stood. We were told 6 inches one way or another, it probably would have taken Christy's head off. We're told that there's multiple ways that it could have severely injured Christy, because once the cow hit there, then it hit on the hood and it slid over the top of the roof of the car, rolled the sheet metal back like a sardine can, and she walked away. She actually ran away because it was a messy scene. Now, that was the interesting, you know, kind of reality of the crash. The end results are even worse. Told you it's a good story. This cow, when it hit that windshield or that corner, the windshield did come in, and the cow, I don't know how to say this, but it kind of divided from the back first. So she was a little covered, okay? You with me? And it wasn't any of her stuff. It was all cow, all right? And so I actually had a suit hanging up in the back seat. We didn't keep the suit. I'll just put it to you that way. And it was behind her, so you get the idea. It was a messy scene. Have you ever been, like, sitting somewhere, nothing's going on? This is my part of the story. And somebody you don't know walks in or calls you or something and asks you if you are who you are? Well, this is what happened. We were sitting at the church getting ready for something to start the next day, and a lady that I don't know walks in my door, my office door, and says, are you Brian Schobert? And, you know, it's that feeling. It's in your gut first, and then you kind of get goosebumps, and you know something's wrong because you don't know this person, but they know you. And I stand up, and I know something's wrong, and Christy walks in behind her, covered, albeit, head to toe, in everything from manure to blood and glass and I don't know what. And I'm like, oh my gosh. It's a pretty cool story, isn't it? I mean, can you one-up that one? All right. Maybe you can. And to be all honest with you, everybody's got maybe a crash story like that. We're not even talking about that crash story, as messy as it was, and it was messy. And again, the miracle of it all is that no severe injuries at all. Not a bit. Now we know and we understand how and why she was protected. This was a long time ago. It was before we had kids, and a little bit after, right after we got out of college. And you know, every once in a while, we'll tell that story and relive that story. Not as one of pride, that's for sure, or one of bragging, that's for sure as well. The one that had this unbelievable mark on our memories. Maybe you have the physical crash story, but I would almost bet there's not a person in this room, nor that will be in this room, nor that's in this community or in this world, that doesn't have a worse crash story than that. And I'm not talking about cars. I'm talking about life. I'm talking about the crashes that hurt worse than the physical ones. The relational crashes, the emotional crashes, the spiritual, the moral, the ones that hit us, not physically, but deep within our souls, deep within our thoughts, and we don't know if we're going to recover. And we don't know that if the mess will ever be dealt with, and we feel like that those kinds of crashes, and I see lots of you going, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. You may not have a physical crash story, but I can almost guarantee you in some way or form, you have a life crash story. They come in many forms. They include more than we want to discuss, but you have to, as it demands your attention, doesn't it? The doctor's prognosis, the late night phone call, the weather report, the Dear John letters could all be in the list and the results that those things have. But that doesn't even come close to including all the potentials. Test results, phone calls from the old friend, the bills that come in the mail that you never knew was coming, the screeching tires of life that lead us to the scenes that we all know too well. They are the crashes of life that are painfully becoming somewhat of a norm. Crashes in humanity, though, we're born to intersect. Before you think, wow, how can this many bad things happen, you know, to me or to us or to good people or whatever you're thinking, the reality is they've always gone together. When you have humanity, you're going to have crashes. The reality was and is, I think we were built for them. I think we were made for them. Adam and Eve, within the conversation in the garden alone with the deceptive little serpent, ended up in a big time crash. We know that. A crash that has affected all of us ever since. Real crashes affect way more than just yourself, don't they? I mean, you know this maybe from a friend or a family member, or maybe it's your own life. That when you have some big internal, moral, relational, emotional, spiritual crash internal, it's like a big rock that's in a little bitty pond and the splash just goes all over everyone around you. The mess stinks, much like Christie's attire did that next day. It's messy. It's hard to clean up. It leaves residual everywhere. You're not sure if you can even be cleaned up. And in the midst of that, all of a sudden you're recognizing how it affects your family and friends and your job and others around you. That's the way life crashes work. Every generation since Adam and Eve has found some way or another to repeat the storyline. Crash after crash has happened. Ignoring truth brings a crash. Neglecting family and friendships brings about crashes. Making a choice to spend money, time, and energy on things that bring too much debt, too much challenge within relationships, too many questions with very little answers brings about crashes. Living in an unhealthy lifestyle can bring on a big-time crash. Then there are the hidden internal crashes caused by fear, guilt, shame, hurt, doubt, and past crashes that never got cleaned up, and the mess is still on right on top of you. You know exactly what I'm talking about, don't you? This is life as we know it. So here we are. At your crash scene. At my crash scene. We all have them. What do you do now? Life is right there. You have to respond. Much like me sitting in the chair and the lady saying, "Are you Brian Schobert?" You have to respond. You can't just sit there and go, You know? Yeah, you're going to respond. I mean, do you panic? Do you freak out? Do you run for help? Do you try to hide? I mean, what do you do in the midst of life crashes is a massive question. What happens now? Will you ever be the same? Will life ever be the same? Will you ever be happy again is a question that I've been asked lately. Who's going to really deal with all this mess? Who's going to be able to put all the pieces back together again? And the bigger question that I have amongst all those questions is does anyone even want to try to clean up the mess? Because I kind of see a lot of people that just don't even try anymore. I mean, look at everybody around us. The crashes are everywhere. Nobody even cleans it up. We just move on. It does seem that many, if not most, are currently quitting in the journey to clean up or put the pieces back together. The journey is just too hard. The mountain is too high. The mess is just too messy. Too painful, too long. We make efforts to clean up, but eventually just move on in life, hoping that the crash will just be forgotten and the results will just disappear. Can I say something to you real quick, though? Before you quit, before you give up, Before you decide, maybe it's not your crash, maybe it's somebody else's that you know that's a little too close to home. Before you decide that you can't do anything about it, I want to make a suggestion. It's somewhat of a bold one and maybe a little harsh. And by the way, they're not my words today that will be harsh. I want to remind you of that. My suggestion is to do an honest evaluation to see if you're equipped. Are you personally equipped to respond to the crashes in life around you and maybe your own life? Have you been equipped with what to do, with a response plan, with when crashes happen in life? And again, I guarantee you they're going to happen. We're mortal. We're not immortal. Our bodies have issues. Some of us have lots of body issues, right? Our bodies are falling apart. We struggle there. Our relationships are so hard. I've been having that talk with a lot of friends lately. It's like in the current context of schedules, money, and pressures of life and job performance and school performance, relationships seem like they're so far down the list. And I guarantee you, you put relationship down the list one or two spots, and what's going to happen? Relational crash is coming. It's just the way this human experience is going. It's been that way from day one. Are you equipped? Are you ready? Here's the deal. If you're not ready, if you just go into response mode and after the crash and go, I don't know what to do, can I tell you that the mess may get you? You better be ready. And then maybe you're already experienced this and you say, man, I'm not ready for my own crash, other people's crashes. It's time to get prepared. I think Jesus was addressing this early on in his first public sermon. And many of us know that as called a Sermon on the Mount. He was trying to equip and prepare his people for the coming crashes. Because there was going to be a lot of them, even in Jesus' own life. He says in Matthew 7, verse 13, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. There is a concept that the storms of life and the struggles in life, you have choices of how to handle that. And Jesus compares it to two roads and two gates. You have this broad road and this wide gate that's easy. This is the way most respond. And you have this narrow road and this narrow gate where he's saying that's the one you want. Because the one that everybody's taking is ending up in more repeated crashes and destruction. I really believe that he knew and was warning all of those listening and warning us still today. The warning was about how easy it is to go through the wide gate and the broad road that most go down. It's so easy to get wrapped up in materialism, isn't it? Have you noticed how easy it is to get wrapped up in the stuff of life? What channel doesn't try to push you to that? I won't tell you what I call HGTV, but anyway. I mean, everything seems like it's just taking us down this wide road of, I got to have this, I got to have that. I mean, any of us is susceptible of going down that road. But let's not just pick on that, and HGTV for that matter. There's lots of things to pick on here. So easy to get wrapped up into fear, relational negligence, lust, busy schedules, confused priorities. It's so easy to reason out poor choices, failed relationships, and non-sacrificial living. It's so easy to forget that we're supposed to be like Christ and be sacrificial. It's so easy to get wrapped up in ourself. Let's evaluate real quick. What easy road is potentially setting a trap for you? We're starting this right now, this evaluation process. So go there with me for a second. Are you reasoning out some moral failure, a struggle in your thought life, a desire for revenge, or just simple ones like gossip and judging others and a lifestyle of escaping the tough stuff through some hidden addiction to numb the pain of everyday life? That comes in entertainment or some food or some drink or some item just to numb from the reality because you don't know how to face it. It's easy. Everybody's going down that road. We act like when we're adults that it's some conversation for kids. Would you do it? You know, would you jump off the cliff if Jimmy jumped off the cliff? I mean, let's be real. Where do you think the little kids got the idea to follow Jimmy? They're looking around and seeing us going down the same roads as everybody else. They end up in crashes and kids just reason it all out and going, well, that's just the way it is. Everybody's a mess. Wow. The road is broad because the majority makes it feel like it must be the right thing to do. If everyone else on the planet's going down the same road, why would we even look for a different road? This is where Jesus gets really, really tough. And I warned you that these were going to be tough words today. He gets really tough on his early listeners and potential followers. And I know when we often think about Jesus and his teachings, and especially at LifePoint, and we want to make sure that we focus on his grace, his love, his mercy, and his forgiveness. Thank you, Lord, for that, right? But can I tell you, when you're on the road with Christ, every once in a while, he's going to turn around and go, are you with me? Are you really with me? Because the price isn't what you think it is, as in, you know, just these nice, lovely Sunday afternoon drives down a nice curvy road and looking at all nice and easy. There are crashes on these roads because that's humanity and life is messy. You ready? Now, don't think that it's a setup by God. Even Jesus himself encountered these crashes. I mean, think about that. He had family failure. He had friendship failure. He had physical, you know, violence. He had judgment on him. I mean, he faced his own. So do we. He gets tough here, friends. These are some of his toughest when he says in Matthew 7, verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, talking about judgment day. Only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we do all this stuff for you? Didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we drive out demons in your name, perform all these miracles? And then I will tell him, this is Jesus speaking. I don't even know who you are. You're consumed with your evil ways. You go down this road and you do this religious stuff. I don't even know you. That's a relational statement. That's not some spiritual, you know, and moral statement. He's talking about relationally. I don't know who you are. You're not connected to me. You don't know me. You don't love me. You don't follow my words. You don't connect with me. He's clarifying the tough reality that we cannot make following him about our selfish motivations of power, prestige, and recognition. When we do things for the Lord out of love and commitment, the fruit shows their long-term impact on eternity. When we do things for show or for recognition, we can say, look at what we've done for the Lord. But the reality is that it had nothing to do with loving God. We just go through these actions and these, oh, I'm supposed to go to church and I'm supposed to know these songs and I'm supposed to memorize these words. But in reality, it's just the knowledge isn't enough. The widest gates that I see today are the ones that have self-ended motivations to them. Well, what's in it for me? We'll see if I can afford that, do that. You know, we weigh things out that I really believe we're going to be held accountable for. To some degree, I think we're already being held accountable for them. I mean, what percentage do we have to get to before we say marriage isn't, you know, really worthy of the amount of time and effort that it takes? And then, you know, if you know me at all, you know I'm not judging you if you've gone through relational struggle before. But it is the reality of us. What are we going to get prepared for our marriages to face crashes? Because they're going to face them. I would be a liar to you if I didn't tell you that Christy and I haven't faced them. We all do. Struggles with our kids, struggles with our friends, struggles with our jobs, desire to quit at times. We all face that. Wanting to run away from the tough stuff. We all are there. The road that we go down, and when we face these roads, when we face these crashes and we face these struggles, is so important for us to realize. By the way, Jesus did give us hope. When he says in verse 24, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who builds his house on a rock. The rain came down, talking about the storms of life. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had a foundation on the rock. It may, the storms of life may affect your actions and your attitudes. It may even rattle your thoughts in your cages. But does it come into, does it eventually hit a foundation of truth? A foundation of love bigger than the pain? Does it hit some hope that you have in eternity rather than just the modern day feel good happiness journey? You with me? What foundation are you building on is the question here. I hope you understand a very important reality about this illustration that Jesus is using. The storms are coming. Whether you're built on His truth and His love and His word or not, storms are going to come. Your storm may look very different than my storm, but the storm's still going to come. We all face some struggles in this life. Jesus did, like we said a while ago. He faced unfaithful friends. He faced ungrateful crowds. He faced unappreciative followers. He dealt with unending physical pain. He faced heartbreak, religious hate, violence, and demanding crazy family members. We all got them, don't we? Sometimes they're us, but we'll stop there. If you look close, He faced much, if not all, that we face today. The storms of life come to us all, even Jesus. Take note of the item that this allows this man to be called wise. It is in the hearing and the doing of the words of Christ that sets a person apart from the typical wide road of destruction. His words give hope when lived out in daily life. It's His words that protect from the storms that we face when we put into action as we face the storms of life and respond to them. It's His words that have long-term impact when we focus on not just knowing His words, but also doing His words. You know the old cliche, right? Talk is what? Cheap, right? It's not just about talk. You know what that means, right? And this is easy. If somebody really loves you, it's not just talk, right? It's doing. It's the way people act and their attitudes towards you. It's not just, you know, talking. And there's another cliche, you know this. Don't just talk the, but walk the. You got to walk it. You got to do it. I mean, we know that, Nike, penned it, right? Just do it. Don't just talk it. Don't just think about it. Don't just have good intentions. It's doing the word, doing His words. We know Jesus is right, but we often think that we get to be the one that these truths just don't apply to. Why do we think this way? Why do we think it doesn't apply to us, or we get, the out or the excuse or the reason? Why do we think our crash is worse than somebody else's crash and we don't really have to apply God's truths and His words to us? The opposite end result in facing a storm without a foundation, without a rock, is dangerous. Without a life-changing relationship with Jesus, it says, everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice, doesn't do the word, do His words, is like a foolish man building his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew, beat against that house, and it fell with a, say these last two words with me, great crash. And the crashes are great, aren't they? Man, they hurt. We all have a decision to make. We make it every day. We must decide the same things that those early followers of Jesus had to decide. Do we really believe that Jesus' words matter? Do they really, really matter? I'm going to sound like a kid. Do they really, 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 really matter? I mean, really? Do we not just know them and speak them and sing them and talk about them on Sundays, but do they really matter on all the other times, on all the other places, when we're faced with relational struggle, failure, even if it's not our fault, when we're dealing with decisions about our money and our time, do His words really, 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 really matter? When Jesus had finished saying these things, it says in verse 28, the crowds were amazed at His teaching because He taught as one with authority, not as just some teacher of the law. There were teachers and preachers everywhere, much like today. I want to say something very tough to a church crowd. People talk about sermons all the time. are you preaching this week? Who's talking? What are we preaching on? Is it for me? And they want to debate on if one preacher is better than the other, or one sermon's more applicable, or if it's deep enough or fun enough. Or I know how we are. I've done the same thing. I'd lie to you if I didn't say that. There was lots of preachers and teachers of Jesus' day, but he was talking not like a preacher or teacher saying, thus saith the Lord. He was saying, this is what you must do. He spoke as one with authority. So you know what this means. Real authority can hold real accountability. And so the question is to each of us, what did you do with my son's words? Be prepared. We all better be prepared. The storms of life will happen if they're not already crashing the shore of your life. We are promised that reality, but we're also given a rock to stand on. There is hope. Remember what it says in John 16:33, I've told you that this so that you may have peace in me. Here on this earth, Jesus says, you will have trials, you will have sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world that I created. I created this world. I know the messes that are in it. I know your tendencies. I know your hearts. I know your fickle ways. I know your crazy thoughts. I know how you're going to respond to temptation. My first creations did that. I know you're going to face these storms. Be prepared and know this. I have already overcome all that mess. Listen to his words. Make them true by living those words. Here's the question for you and I today. How to get the peace in the midst of the storm? How to ride the big waves and not crash? How to respond when the storms hit our shore, deep, right in our face, deep in our souls? How do we stand on solid ground and not find ourselves on that sinking sand? James 1 says it this way, don't just listen to God's word. You must, I like that, must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. If you listen to the word and don't obey it, it's like glancing at your face in the mirror. You see yourself, you walk away, you forget what you look like. That's called schizophrenic. That's called you got issues. If you look at yourself in the mirror, you ought to pretty much know it's being honest about what you see in the mirror, right? You know, no offense, ladies, but you can do makeup and do your hair all you want, but you know what it looked like before you did. Fellas, we can do things with our hair and try to make it look better, but we know what the real deal is in the morning. And I'm not trying to be ugly, I'm just being real with you today. We know what the mirror says. It's the truth. And sometimes we can't handle the truth, right? Tough. You see yourself, you walk away, you forget what you look like. Whoa. But if you look carefully into the perfect law, law is not the perfect law, not just doing a checklist, but the perfect law that sets you free. If you do what it says and don't forget what you've heard, then God will bless you. Didn't say you wouldn't face more storms. Didn't say that the road wouldn't be a little bit curvy. But he will bless you as you go down the road. You'll know true peace. You will understand true friendship. You will have priorities in place and you won't be rocked in your own concept of right and wrong. So let's do this today as we wrap up. Let's do the word together. All right? You ready to do the word? Not just talk about it, not just sing about it. This is yes. This is no. You ready to do the word? We're going to do the word today. We're going to put it into action. We're not just talking about it today. And you are all committed to doing the word. All right? Now, you're like, oh, he's setting us up. And you're right, I am. Here's the setup. Hebrews 3, verse 12. See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful or unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. Wow. Here's the action. Encourage one another daily as long as it's called today so that none of you will be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. It is time to live out these words. We face these storms and our sinful natures. What's your storm? We all have a different one. Here's the cool thing about the church and the body. We have already been equipped with God's presence, and his love to encourage you to the day that he returns. So we're going to do that today. We're going to give you an opportunity right now to encourage one another. Hear each other's storm stories. I encourage you to do the abbreviated version, all right? Now, don't take me wrong with that. I think you ought to spend time in the long version later on today, this week, sometime soon. Make an appointment. I want to hear the real story. I want to hear the whole deal. But the concept of us doing the word is to encourage one another. This is the opportunity to not be relationally and spiritually lazy. It's easy to sit in these seats and do nothing. It's easy to hear the words and move on through the day. It's often hard to do the word. So we're going to do the word. We're going to roll up the sleeves. And yes, I'm doing that on purpose. All right. We're going to step away from our seat. We're going to find somebody else. We're going to just give a 2 or 3 sentence explanation of our storms. This is the storm currently in my life. I'm facing a really tough schedule. My family life right now is just hard. My relationship with my husband and my wife, my concept of who I am. This is my storm. Pick one. You may have multiple. Pick one. And just encourage each other. Pray for each other. Just stop and by name. Hey, I lift Brian up as he faces this storm. If many of you, if there's any of you that don't know Christ, and you say, I want to know the solid ground, you can come talk to me or Alan or any of us. But we want to pause right now and ask the Lord to speak to us. Reveal the storm, and then you're going to have to do the word. You can do it with somebody sitting next to you, you bet. But please don't be relationally and spiritually lazy today. Share the storm. Encourage one another. Pray for each other. And live out and do the word. You ready? All right, let's pray. God, thanks for today. I wish I could say thanks for the storms, but to be honest with you, Lord, we're never thankful for the storms. But we need you, your words, your peace, and ultimately, God, your presence. I know you often do that through the encouragements of others. So we pause right now, Lord, and say, God, reveal to us the storms. The storm that is really easily trying to overtake us. It can be anything. Friends, again, let the Lord reveal that to you. It can be job. It can be relationships. It can be money. It can be schedule. It can be moral issue. Whatever you feel like you can share with someone else. This is my storm. Encourage and pray. If you need to talk to someone, you can come down and talk with me. And we'll wrap up together. So don't leave yet. We'll wrap up together. Father, reveal to us through your presence, and may we, God, serve you, do your word, and live out, Father, the opportunity to truly engage you this morning by serving and encouraging and praying for one another. God, may you find us faithful in Christ's name. Amen.